Good day, friends. We again come to you with studies in the book of Genesis. And we're going along slowly, it is true, but we want to get some of these wonderful truths in your mind. Again, I repeat it, as someone has said, the book of Genesis is a seed plot of the whole Bible. And we're in the fourth chapter dealing with Cain. The first half of the chapter deals with Cainite religion. Salvation without sacrifice. Human-made salvation which doesn't satisfy God. The last half of the chapter has to do with Cainite civilization. So I'm making it very simple for you. The first 15, 16 verses, Cainite religion, and then Cainite civilization. We're dealing our last lesson with the judgment of God upon Cain. You remember Cain brought the fruit of a cursed ground and expected a holy God to accept it. And God offered him in his wonderful grace how he could be received. He spurned the grace of God. And the result was he went out and he slew his brother. Where is Abel thy brother? You'd think that this would get down into his conscience, but not, no. Cain is still very, very selfish. There's no repentance in Cain. In fact, he became very, very arrogant and insolent when he said, "I'm my brother's keeper," and he lied to God. "Where's your brother?" And he lied. As if God didn't know that he had lied. He was willful. He was proud. He was insolent. Then you have the judgment of God upon Cain. Why didn't God blot him out? Why didn't the judgment of God, for we read the wages of sin is death, the soul that sinneth it shall die. Why didn't God move in on the question? No, I want you to mark something here, that sin separated Cain from God. So you can't hide sin from God. You might be able to hide it from man, but you certainly can't hide it from God. And so you have God speaking to the fact that he would be a fugitive, he would be a vagabond in the earth. Even the very ground which had been cursed for man's sake would not henceforth yield unto you or unto thee her strength. I'm quoting from verse 12. So he became a wanderer. He was separated from God. Just as Judas went out from the presence of the Lord and it was night. That's from John 13. So it is here. Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. Verse 16. And he dwelt in the land of wandering, the land of Nod, on the east of Canaan. Became a nomad, became a wanderer. And yet, even here, God protected him. Now, the question is oftentimes raised because the next verse says, "And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch, and he builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch." Here you have the beginning of Cainite civilization. Oftentimes, by the way, if somebody's going to ask me this, I may as well answer it. The question is oftentimes raised, where did Cain get his wife? Who was Cain's wife? Oftentimes that question is asked. Well, the first question I see is, first answer is Mrs. Cain, of course. But he either married a niece or a sister. Remember that Adam and Eve had a great many sons and daughters. They lived for hundreds of years, and they must have multiplied rapidly. For example, Adam was 130 years of age when Seth was born. There had been a lot of children born to Adam and Eve. And it is true, a great many are not mentioned. But that is not the fact. And remember that their bodies were practically perfect. As far as we know, there was no disease. Well, you say, it's a terrible thing for a brother to marry a sister or a niece. Well, my friend, let me tell you this, that, and I quote here from some of the old authorities, which say that even in Egypt, it was during Moses' time and before Moses' time, it was quite common for the pharaohs, for a brother to marry a sister, to preserve the purity of the line. But don't judge what they had before the flood, where you have longevity of life into 900 and some years. But today, for our Lord, you remember in the 90th Psalm said, the days of man shall be 80 years and 10, and if by reason of strength, 80 years. Yet, there's not much to it. Life is a fleeting shadow. But in the antediluvian time, they were lived to hundreds of years, and hence they had great many sons and daughters. This is for the building up of the human race. I just suggest this, and more than likely, in this connection, Cain had his wife even before he was a wanderer. But the Bible says nothing about it. Now let's go to this question of the Cainite civilization. I'm doing this because today we are living in a generation, in a civilization that's Cainite. I want you to mark where it says, Cain knew his wife, she conceived and bare Enoch. This is not Enoch of chapter 5. Enoch. And he builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. Then you have Enoch, you have Irad, and so on. Verse 19, and Lamech took unto him two wives. The name of the one was Ada, the name of the other was Zillah. And Ada bare Jabal. He was the father of such as dwell in tents, of such as have cattle. He was a rancher. His brother's name was Jubal, and he was the father of all such as handle the harp and the organ. Here you have music. And Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron, and so on. Verse 23, and Lamech said unto his wives, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice, you wives of Lamech, hearken to my speech. For I have slain a man to my wounding, and a young man to my hurt. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 77-fold. Now, I just very briefly take up this question of Cainite civilization. Here you have them trying to start a world without God. Cainite civilization. Make this world a pleasant place to live without God. You notice, he had a son called Enoch, and he builded a city, called it after the name of his son. One is reminded, by the way, of the 49th Psalm, where, speaking of the unsaved, they call their houses and their cities after their own names. Now, when you come to chapter 11 of Genesis, the first 9 verses, you have a repetition of the Cainite civilization plus rebellion. And if I were to run ahead, I would say in chapter 5 of Genesis, you have an entire different picture. Like you have it in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 13 to 16, where instead of building cities, they lived in tents, signifying they had no continuing city. They looked for one which was to come. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. It was Cainite civilization. Let's make this world a pleasant place for man to live without God. Then Enoch had a son by the name of Irad. And by the way, the word Irad means city of witness. Then we come down to this man Lamech. His name means powerful. And notice he's the seventh in line from Adam. The seventh in the line of Cain, a civilization without God. When you come to the 5th chapter, Enoch, the seventh from Adam. In Seth's line, he walked with God and was not, for God took him. We'll talk about that when we come to chapter 5. But I want you to mark the contrast. Lamech means powerful, and he's the seventh in line from Adam. A civilization without God. No thought for God, no room for God, etc., etc. Enoch, the seventh from Adam, in the Seth line, chapter 5, knew God. He walked with God. He had this testimony that he pleased God. The contrast of the two. Now, you notice something else. Polygamy started. This is certainly out of God's order. In chapter 2, chapter 5 of Genesis, you remember, God made man and woman, he made them one. And whom God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. One man for one woman. This is what the original purpose of God for man was. And the moment sin came in, you've got to change the human heart. They became rebellious. So he had two wives, at least he had two wives. The start of polygamy, and coupled with that was what? Was murder. He killed a young man. And the intimation is that when he killed this young man, they were having some trouble. And he said that if Cain can be avenged by killing his brother, then I can be avenged sevenfold. He claimed that he was better than Cain, you see. Now you notice that in the three children, in Jabal, which means leader, he was a man who lived in tents and cattle, wealth. That's one aspect of the world. You've got a man in the field. Then Jubal, which means joyful sound, he was the one who brought in the arts, culture, the harp, the music. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with taking care of cattle. Nothing wrong with wealth. Nothing wrong with tents. Nothing wrong with harps or music or culture. Except it was without God. God had entirely left out of the picture. Here you have a humanistic society sufficient unto themselves. And then when Tubal Cain was born, he became a manufacturer. He was an artificer in brass and iron. Now it may be that they made weapons for warfare, I don't know. But here you have manufacture. You have the first piece of poetry in verses 23 to 24. And what is this? You have him resenting injury, no humility, the justification of self. He presumed on the grace of God. Listen to it. I have slain a young man to my wounding, a young man to my hurt. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 77-fold. I repeat it again. He resented injury. There was no humility, rather arrogancy. He had the justification of self. Though he had slain a man, he justified himself in doing it. And he presumed on the grace of God, that because God didn't blot out Cain, and if Cain was taken care of, while God will take care of me 77-fold. He claimed to be a better man than Cain. My friend, let me suggest this to you. Cainite civilization is a civilization of human powers. It even became their religion. And you will notice something. There are two words not mentioned in the passage. No mention of sin. No mention of death. When you come to your next chapter, chapter 5, it's full of death. It's full of death. You see, in chapter 5, their hope is beyond death. In chapter 4, their hopes were down here. Let's make this world a wonderful place to live without God. My friend, I'm living and you are living in a generation and a world that is Cainite. Let's make this world wonderful without God. We don't need God. I was reading some little statements from one of our newspapers by religious leaders, and this is their thought. We don't need God. We don't need God. The Christian God is weak, doesn't take care of people. We will. We're greater than God. Here you have the deification of man. And here you have this civilization, and Cainite civilization was a substitute for God's way. It was self-sufficient. no need for God. They builded a world without God. It's a system. I say again, there's nothing wrong in raising cattle. Nothing wrong in manufacturing. Nothing wrong in art. Nothing wrong in music. Except when you leave God out. It's a system. The world is a system. Religious, moral, economic, political, social, without God. That's why Jesus, you remember, in John chapter 17, verses 14 to 16, said in his prayer to his Father, talking about his disciples, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not say you should take them out of the world, but you should take them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 17, love not the world, nor the things that are in the world. If anyone love the world, the love of the Father is not in him, for all that's in the world. These are the avenues of approach. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 4, Christ gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world. You have it in Galatians 6:14. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified to me and I to the world. In other words, trying to be happy without God. Civilization is all right, except when it leaves God out of the picture. And the amazing thing is, the higher civilization goes, the more sin you have. You take today, for example, in America. Talk about universities and junior colleges and high schools. We've got them on all over the country. Education. And we boast about our knowledge in different fields of science and so on. Philosophy and science. And yet sin and lawlessness and moral corruption is increasing. In fact, some of the social diseases of the day are making some of the doctors alarmed at what's taking place. This is not just right down in the down and out, as so-called. You find it on your university campuses. You find it among the rich. I don't care where you find it. It's in society. When you leave God out, you rule in lawlessness, corruption, rebellion. When you rule the word of God out of a life, then you rule in lawlessness. My friend, 2 + 2 = 4. Rule the Bible out, and you rule out your ground for morality. That's where we are today. You know that verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21, which says, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of the thing preached to save them that believe. Now here you have in the very beginning of the book, polygamy, murder, godlessness. How quick sin grew and increased in the Canaanite family in chapter 4. And let me say this too, my friend. When God is left out of civilization, then civilization will destroy itself. I'm going to repeat that statement. When God is left out, then civilization will destroy itself. Don't be surprised at this. Notice something else in the passage. You may not like this, but you notice the prominence of the woman in chapter 4? You come to chapter 5, Seth begat so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. No women mentioned in chapter 5. But here you have the genealogy spoken of. Ada bare Jabel, and she bare also Jubal. And Zillah, she bare Tubal-Cain. Why didn't it say Lamech? like you have it in chapter 5. Nor the woman becomes prominent. See. Now, I want to tell you very frankly, my friend, that our present civilization parallels the Cainite civilization. You take it in Luke chapter 17, our Lord said, before he comes back to the earth as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. And here in chapter 4, you've got the base of that. When you come to chapter 5, you have the generations of Adam through Seth. When you come to chapter 6, you've got the unification of those two families, the Cainites and the Sethites. Nothing else but destruction. When we come to chapter 5, we'll have what Enoch has to say about his generation. But suffice for the present to say, here we have an amazing thing. A generation living without God. Friend, how are you living? What about you? My present generation, most of the people have no time for God. They have no room for God. They have no place for God. Do you? Do you? Are you so satisfied with the world and all that the world offers you that you have no place for God? No thought for the one who died to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself? You see, friends, sin separated Cain from God. And there was no repentance. There's no desire for the things of God. What about you? What about me? What place do we give God in our lives? I'm going to leave that with you today. You think about it. When we come to chapter 5, we'll see more of the great yearning of the heart of God for men to walk with him. May God deliver you and me from a generation that's Cainite, both in its religion and in its civilization. And the Lord bless you today for his precious name's sake.